This interview was taken in 1974 by Percy Evans talking to Mr. Bill McCormick, who was born in 1890 and lived all his life in Jubilee and Abbotsford area.
So don't say anything you don't want to hear again.
Yeah, well, you were born in
1890 in New Westminster.
In New Westminster. And you were living here?
Well, David took the place over in 84, and he came out west here to work on the CPR. He was in Kingston for a year before he came west, and he came from Ireland. Mother was still waiting in the old country. They weren't married yet, but they were intending to get married as soon as he got a home set up out here. And he took him to Lafleur when the first trains ran on the CPR. She came west from Kingston. In 87, that was. And they were married, and they moved up here, I guess, that same year. And built the old house, gone now. they lived here, right in the woods. This way, it was 1 mile to the first neighbor, and then down to the river would be half a mile. There was two neighbors down there.
Who would they be, remember?
There was Joe Patterson. He came in there in about 72, I believe he told me. And Graff, Morse Graff, next door to him. I think he was in here first, a little before Patterson. Because Patterson married his sister-in-law that was living with the Graffs. They farmed down there. That's at the upper end of Glen Valley, like you see, up along the hill here.
Some change then,
I often think my mother came right from Liverpool, right in the middle of the woods here. No neighbors or anything. You don't get them doing that nowadays. And they made it.
Made it. Possibly they were happier than we are today.
I wouldn't wonder. Now we've got bored to death with everything, especially the young people.
You say the people that were here 100 years ago were actually living in less danger in a lot of ways than we are today.
I should say so.
You take a trip to town and every car you need is a lot more dangerous than the Indian was, eh?
Yeah, or the old stern wheeler. Because that's the only road we had was a river in those days.
Yes.
And
where would you get on the steamer at that time?
Down at Marsh's Landing. Marsh was the next door neighbor below us here.
I see.
He moved in the same time Dad did.
Well, that would be pretty near straight from here to the river,
wasn't it? Well, nearly, yes. Yeah. Nearly east, you see. Bend in the river there. And, it only cost 50 cents from there to Westminster. And you could go down on the morning boat and back on the evening. It came back, made the round trip. Or there was a boat that would go down today and back tomorrow, going to Chilliwack at that time.
Well, it's going right up to Chilliwack.
But the other boat just went to Mission or to Mount Lehman Landing. And then went. It was a smaller boat and it made the round trip, as I say, which was.
Well, would there be any road, say, from here to Westminster at all?
The old rail. That's way out. That's 6 miles out of us, you see. So the river was the main.
It'd be a different world, wouldn't it?
Oh, it
sure would. And what roads would this be? What, do you remember the name?
Well, the first one I think I would remember would be the. There was a real American, but I don't remember ever seeing it. Probably might have been off before I remember, But then there was a transfer on the Gladys. And the Gladys was burnt at the Westminster fire in 96, I think it was. And then West lived this side of Langley Bluff.
Which west would that be?
Well, there's a little house just this side on the road as you're coming up. You'll have noticed that, I guess. As you come around the line of bluff, just before you cross that bridge coming this way, there's a little house on your left there. And that's one of the West Boys. He's a grandson of the old timer that moved in there. And the old man had about 6 boys, maybe 7. And of course they're all gone now, and there's not some of the grandsons around yet. There's the 2 anyway that I know down here yet. And the old man was a kind of a boat builder, apparently. He was a German. And they built 3 boats that I know of. The Fairy Queen, the Royal City, and the Defender. And they ran them all on the river here, carried passengers and freight.
That river is still quite a lifeline.
Yeah. It could be used for a lot of other things, I think, though, that they don't about. It's too slow, you know.
Yeah.
Too slow nowadays.
Do you remember the Samson when it first came into operation?
Well, as long as I can remember, the Samson was on the river there. I was just a kid now. I don't know what year it came around. But I think the one that's there now is the 3rd Samson. Came and went, you know, war altars.
Yes, well, this is called the Samson 5 now.
Oh,
right?
5.
Yeah, it's been refitted several times.
Oh. I know 3 anyway. I know there was different.
So you know Albert Gibson?
Oh, yes. I know Albert Gibson.
Well, he's the captain.
He's the captain.
And you know his father?
Oh, yes, and his grandfather.
And his grandfather?
Yeah.
Well, his grandfather was a pioneer here, too, then.
1907. Came in from Rossland. And moved on the place. Well, you know the place.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
And, well, he didn't get so long. I went down to his funeral in Vancouver. It could be 12 years ago or 10 years ago or something.
You remember the old John
Hunter
Mill?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's
Ryan is still there.
Yeah. And you remember very much about it?
No.
You would be pretty young then.
I was pretty young, you see. But I remember him talking about it, and I remember seeing the mill and all that, because you've always seen that from the river where you're going up and down on the boat. The roads to use then. Although now the old way, looking further out, they would drive into Westminster, you know, with horses or horseback, something like that. But we didn't have buggies and horses. John's horse.
That's right. I suppose the idea of having a buggy would be something at that time.
That's right. And having a road to ride it on.
Although a common buggy would work very well, but a road like the old year road would be.
Yes, it wasn't much of a road either. But there used to be a trail from here to Glen Valley. Well, I don't know if it's an Indian trail, I suppose, probably, you know, because at night they used to pass here. Well, not always. Neither did belong to the Indians from up here in Maskwe and from across the line there at Nootsack. And some of them, they'd go to visit these Indians down here, say, at Walnut and Langley and all that sort of thing. The dog was on horseback, because that's the way they traveled.
Do you remember any problem with the Indians at that time?
Not around here, no.
They were generally pretty peaceful.
Oh, yes, very much that way. I didn't see too much of the fog, more or less half-breeds that I mixed with, you see. We had them at school, and where we went, there was a lot of that.
And where would your school be at that time?
On the other end of this quarter section. Dad gave them an acre over here, and it was a little loud school.
And that was thought to be volunteer labor?
Oh, absolutely. That was in 1906. Yeah. And the government allowed them, I think it was $50, to buy a door, and there was 4 windows and bricks for the chimney. Everything else said volunteer. Huge allowed. Now they're raising me, you know. And they made a lovely job of that, you know. And it sat there to about 10 years ago. And I had looked at it, you know, it was just as good as they had been, you know, built up off the ground on a log, you know, so that it never rotted from below anything, and it was fine, nice shape. And I, you know, I mentioned something, and I should buy that acre back. Dad had given them the acre, but they just sort of begged me about that, but and preserved that, you see. Or they could have moved it out of, onto the hall grounds, wherever they, you know, have it for a souvenir, like, you know, maybe. Somebody bought the land around there, and he burnt the building down, and there isn't one log building left in this municipality. Well, there's one out there yet. It would be a Turnville like. That's south of Yale Road, the old Yale South of the Highway. And Gordon Pearson's place. That was built back in the 80s, or even might have been in the 70s. And they're preserving that, you know. And I've never seen the building. I haven't told them about it 50 times. And that, I've had people out that wanted to see it, but. I guess probably it's not a bad building. But there's good buildings around here, a lot of good ones, you know, and I just let them go.
Well, you would remember the old Morrison house.
Yes, sitting on the. Everybody remembers that, you know. So many people said to me, my, that old house is gone. Isn't that too bad? You know, you remember?
No. Oh, you it didn't see? The year before this, I came.
Oh, big round, you know, it had these fancy. Decorations, you know that?
And you
unless it was too bad.
You would know the Morrison's first.
Oh, yes. The boys, old Joel and Billy and Alec and Kenny, there were four of them. I guess that's all it was anyway, those four I knew. Well, Joel's picture's down there in Miami today.
Yeah.
102 or something. Well, Alec lived to be 100, the other brother.
Yeah.
And Kenny died. I think he was still in his 30s. And Billy was quite, Billy was CPR, a CNR man there for quite a long time, well up to the time he died, I guess. But he wasn't that old, you know. And the girls, I met two or three of the girls. One married a Jackson, and one married a Lucky Brown. It was four girls. But I didn't know them. I just have seen them, you know, and I met some of the grandchildren too, the Jackson boys. But, Now it's too bad that the old house, it's not so long, you see, since it was torn down.
No, I believe it was torn down in 69 or 70.
Something like that, yeah.
We have pictures of it, we have pictures.
Oh, I see.
Of part of the family on the steps.
Oh, yeah.
I intended actually to bring some of these pictures to them, but I gave all of a sudden sort of thing, it was the chance I could get away, so I didn't bring them, but if you'd like to see them, we can certainly make arrangements for you to see them.
I guess I'd probably know some of you better. It's unlandly residence for that
yes.
time, eh?
Yes.
Of course, I didn't know the old timers so much around Lang because I was pretty young and, you know, we didn't. Then later dates, I met the offsprings, you see, more or less, when you used to be playing football and lacrosse and that. Down there. Old Jason arrived.
Yeah?
I knew all the boys.
You knew
the best. Oh, yes. I knew the old man to see him, too. And who were the others? Old Hawley, the fellow that gave the money to build the bridge onto the island there. Did you ever hear of him?
A
butcher.
Yeah, but I don't know too much about him.
Oh, well, when he died, he left the money to build that bridge out of the first little island, you see, from Langley.
Yes.
He owned the island, apparently. They called it the Holly Island. Uh-huh. He had stock on it, I think. And I suppose that started that reason for putting the ferry across yourself. That was a good place to put the cross in. I think they should put a bridge there.
Oh yes, it's
going to
come to that.
Pretty busy. I haven't been down across that for a year, but they tell me now that since it's a free ferry too, you know that.
It's quite often lying back to near the hotel there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a busy place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many tires.
Would you happen to know the Cromarty
Cromarty, I call
Cromarty,
him. Yeah. Cromarty, oh, yes.
I say that wrong.
The two boys, that's Sam and Jim. Oh, Jim was, lived in Glen Valley there, well, right up the time he died. Great, big, husky, strong man. He's the guy that carried all the sacks of flour off. You heard that.
Yeah, that's he was the cooper at the fort.
That's right, in the early days.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where. Was he born around there? I don't suppose so.
I don't think so. I think he came from Europe. But again, I'd like to
check
into the background of these people.
His mother, I guess, was the Indian, eh?
I believe
the
so.
Dad was from. Now let's see. Yes, they had a sister. Jim had a sister, that's right. And she married Airsine. He lived across down the State River, across the river there. She died, a young woman. I never saw her, but I, you know, heard all about it. But old Jim, yes, he lived to be quite old too.
And they talk about him moving barrels of sand. He
had quite a name, you know, and he was kind of roughneck too sometimes with his strength, you know. He only did run a few wins, you know. Did rough too.
Yeah, well, I guess that was part of their way of life.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yes, I remember I was going down on the train after the CN yard running here one morning. On the milk, I was in the milk car. I got on when they put the milk can on. You see, and I was talking to the conductor and the baggie. And they pulled up before we got to Glen Valley Station, you see, this side of that slough. Well, I wondered what it's all about. And I looked up, and here's four men carrying a mattress with old Jim Cromarty on. They weighed about 250, I guess, you know, pretty. They brought them in, you know, the train's pretty high, and then the track was raised up, and here they were with Jim on a. Master Pete had a stroke. So we had quite a show to get him up here to put him into the milk car. And I would ask, you know, I would never talk to him, because I don't suppose he knew what it was. I said, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm all right. What the hell's the matter with those figures? Now, why don't they leave him alone? He didn't want anybody to run. He was all right. Well, he came back to fire, and they took him down to the hospital for a while. But they brought him back. He lived there for a while after a few years.
No, he must have been quite a bad way. But a lot of these people, we don't have too much down on them at all.
No, I suppose not.
It's just more or less legends that we get.
He was quite a trapper, too. Mm-hmm. He used to go up the stove and trap and beaver and mink, muskrat, whatever you have.
Did you ever see any part of their state works up around the State Lake, State River up in that area?
Well, when they were building the plant, I was up that way in 1908, you know, when they first put in the State Falls Dam.
Oh, yeah?
See, they have the State Falls and the Ruskin down further. Well, when they were building the State Falls Dam, one of them. Yes, before they put in the railroad, they put in the spur, you see, from Ruskin up to the dam to when they're moving the machinery up, you know. That was the handy way to get the machine in there. But the time I went up first, they were just using horses on the road. It was kind of a snaky old load up along the river, you see. And they had about 400 or 500 men. There's a big crew there. Well, everything's done by hand.
Yes, oh yes.
You know, it's not like it is now.
But apparently the Hudson Bay Company did have a cooper shop in that area somewhere. You don't remember anything of that.
Up to that country?
Apparently they did for a short time. This would be actually before your time.
Yes.
But
must have.
I think it would be in the 60s.
Yeah, like you. Well, that's when they were shipping fish out, I guess.
Yes.
Hudson Bay people. Oh, yes, I guess that's right. They would make the barrels around here somewhere.
That's
where Jim worked, was it?
Well, he worked at the fort, but in later years, apparently, they did set up barrel shops over in that area.
Oh.
That's where the wood originally came from, the barrels. The pine, you see.
They used to make barrels out of cottonwood here, too.
They did use cottonwood.
Yeah. Now, it's lime barrels I'm thinking of. You know, they used to get these lime barrels with unslacked lime.
Yes.
And we used to get them here from around this table and the chicken house and that, you see. And that's it used to come in these cottonwood barrels. Now, whether they were made, Of course, there was a bar outfit there in Vancouver, I think about when I first knew Vancouver, more or less. Sweeney's.
Yes, they're still in operation.
Yeah, I knew they are. I know the family's still there because I knew Leon, his son, Ed, is on the Vancouver Council now, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we have got, you see, the Sweeney's did take over part of the tools from the old Hudson Bay shop.
Oh, I see.
And they've returned them to us. We have most of them back there. We're using them. We're demonstrating that, you know, trying to do it in the old way.
Sure,
we're trying to get a background on some of these, you know, people.
Right, too.
Now that it's Cormick's.
Cormick. Well, Bill's down there in the valley. He's older than I am.
Is that right? Now, was he a native born?
I don't know whether he was born out in this country. I can remember the Cormick family when I was about 10. The boys, there was two boys and two girls. And Bill was older than me, and then he was younger. Well, now, they'd been there on the farm quite a little while then, I think. But now, what year they came there, I wouldn't know. You could get a hold of Bill.
Yeah.
He lives here in the valley, yeah.
Well, I intend to do this summer, is try to get out and talk to some of these people. And, Emptage. Kid family?
Well, Kid, now would that be the bunch that moved into Westminster? I knew George Kid. He was a manager of the BC Electric Institute. Would that be the same family?
It could be. I wouldn't be sure.
Manager or president or something, you know. Because the first time I ran across him would be in... Well, he was coming up. He was trying to put the line up here, I think. That was 1910, they opened this BC Electric to Chilliwack, you see. And he had come up, the old Pemberton Hill here was built. And he'd come up with a big Hudson, and he had to come down, he'd go out this way. The road used to go out through the woods here, didn't you see? You just got through there by the skin of your teeth, that's all. But he had this big Hudson, and there was him and another guy and three women, I think, in it, you know. And they were about this deep in the mud. I was walking one Sunday, and I was walking out, and here I come across the room, the mud hole. And I guess that's about the time the BC Electric started here, though. Yeah, it'd been before 1900, about 1900. So, they had a little shovel in the car, you know, everybody carried something to get out of the mud with no day. So, well, I thought I better get maybe and help him. So I did, you know. And we dug away in front of the wheels and put some brush and stuff in there. So I said to them, well, if you can't get out here, if you can't get with this, I'll go home and get the team. And remember one lady said, you didn't have oxen? And I said, no, I have oxes. I was getting winded, you know. But we managed to get it out. A couple of the other neighbors came along in between the buckets. We got to move with that.
And the Lehmans, I imagine you know the Lehmans.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. They came in really early. And Hawkins, did you have Hawkins?
No, I don't have. No.
He is the first white child born in Maskwin. Well, he's 94 now. I saw him yesterday. 94, that'd leave it in 78.
Oh, and you saw
him
yesterday.
Yeah, they had a kind of a centennial here at Mats Creek. You know, they had out here mountain, and they had the athletic grounds there and all and everything. So we all went out there. He was there, and another, well, not such an old timer, Simpson, and they made them laugh. You know, give them the freedom of the city, you know, the valley rather. And this Hawkins, Al, he lives on the Jackman Road, you know, from Glen Valley. You know the naval station out there?
I know about where it is yet.
Just north of Olive Grove. She's right across the road from them. Him and wife lived there alone. Yes, you should see Al, because he's the old. He remembers. In the olden days, there was... Now, whether his dad was in there ahead of Lehman or not, I'm not sure. They both came in the 60s. Or 70s. And young Alf, or Alf was born in, what did we say?
74. He's
94 now. In
74,
you see.
Yeah, it would be
70. Oh, yes, 70.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, well, the old man must have come in 60. He was one of the old sappers from Sapperton down here, you see. He got out of the grant they gave him for service. And then Lehman, I'm not sure if he had a boat. They're about the same time, and there were a few neighbors around Bethlehem, and they would go to call this, not Mount Hawkins, Mount Albion, Albion, his name is A-L-B-I-S. And he wouldn't have, he said, no, call him Mount Lehman, because Sam Lehman lived up on top, you see. So they called him Mount Lehman. That would mean in 74, yeah. 100 years ago. Well, all the Lehmans, no, not all, there's one Lehman left, one. He's a great grandson of old Sanders. And, no, he's a grandson. Sam, Chet, yeah, he's a grandson of old Sanders. Of course, he's not a kid, he's 65, I guess. But the rest are all disappeared and died off. And let's see, who was the other old family? There was no town in Glen Valley named MacIver.
Yes, I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, MacIver. Well, he must have been in here before 72. Because Joe Patterson moved in there, and it's the first day he'd been there, I think. And this old fellow came up the river, and this was MacIver from Glen Valley. So that was before 72.
McLennan's? No.
You
didn't mention
McKay's. Oh, yes. Old Gilbert McKay, the old-timer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, I remember Gilbert. And the boys. There were three boys.
And he was farming, was he?
Yeah, yes, he had farming.
That would be the common thing, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I guess he was a Scotchman. Now, whether he was from the old country, oh, I guess he must be. Scottish accent,
The Armstrongs.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember?
I remember two or three of the boys, they'd be uncles to the people that are around now, if there's any of them left. Well, I know there's one of the granddaughters married, she lives in Silverdale over here, she married a Patterson. They lived up right at the bluff there, up on the hill, I think it was.
Red says down here, 1875, you know, they thought maybe it might be about that time that they came in here.
The Armstrongs? I'd imagine it would be, because I remember the name, you know, before I saw him, and I knew the name being around here. And that's he didn't mention Coghlan, I guess.
No.
They came in later, I guess, down there.
Larman.
Oh, yeah, one of his sons, Sam, had moved in here, a pretty young man, I know. He took up 106 acres out here, and he died in 18, died of the flu. And then there was other brothers, there was one other, and I knew, what was he? He was down around Langley Way. The old man and used to walk up to him, and we'd walk past him, walk from the Bellas, come over to Sam's. And he seemed to me, he looked over to me then, days, he was through troubles. And he must have been in good shape, because he'd walk from there down the line, which would be 12 miles.
A rough pace of the trail, too much.
Pretty rough. Pretty rough. Well, there is the road to Westminster here, you know.
They were both here.
Yeah.
Against the current?
Well, I suppose they'd kind of work on the tide from the lower end, you know. Yeah. Start up with the tide.
Yes, it's quite a different story today.
Well, it is. Now, from here on the freeway, they go down to Vancouver again. Oh, some of them do it in half an hour. You know.
There would be, if you go to New Westminster by boat, would be a full day.
Yeah.
You would go in the dark and come back in the dark pretty well.
Oh, you mean in Willow?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, she used to come down here about 8 o'clock in the morning. Give me time to do the chores, I suppose. And at night, oh, it could be anything up to midnight.
Yeah.
And fog, you know, it gets foggy here.
Yeah.
I'd come up in that boat, you know, and you could hardly see your hand like that. And those captains, they'd be pulling on the whistle cord and listening. See, there was the bluffs, and they'd hear the echo, and they knew where they were by these echoes, you see.
Quite a thing, though, isn't it? I mean,
don't
wait to
mark your own. No, I remember they were landing. They had to make a landing, you see. One of the deck hands would be out on the bow, you'd have one of these coal oil lanterns, you know, holding it up just to show maybe 30, 40 feet ahead. The old captain from up there. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was quite a
thing. Do you remember any real tragedy with these old steamboats now, or?
No, most of them, one thing happened, they weren't. Oh, there was a couple of sunk, yes. But now, out this west, the boats that I mentioned, there was the, Royal City. She burned up at Mission, tied up one night, you know. And the boys, most of them had gone uptown, and the Mission town, there was a dance on, or up to the hotel or somewhere, I don't know. But there were two of the boys left down there, and they were sleeping. My guess they both got burnt. One of them was an old timer son, Edwards, from up here. They fished the river. That was their business, fishing the river. The other fellow, I forget who he was. But, and then the gladdest that worked when the rest was the fire. And the other morning she sank down there just below land there. What do they call that? Somebody's name, Brouse. Have you ever heard the name Brouse? Brouse, second, Brouse's land, they call it. He was an old fisherman.
Speaking of fish, what would the fishing be like then compared to now?
Well, there was lots of fish then, but there was, well, I fished on the river for 2 years, you know, me and one of the neighbor boys. We'd just fish in the summer for the sockeye and maybe the fall fish, you see. Didn't fish the winter. I assume it's get 10 cents a piece for sockeye. Now, you know, they average about 6 pounds. 10 cents a piece, you know. And, well, when the rum is good, they limit you probably to, say, 100 to the boat or 200 to the boat, whatever, you know, give everybody a chance. I remember one of the boys, Falcon, he had 1,000 rounds that they'd take. They used to start fishing Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Well, the collector wouldn't come around until Monday morning. And he had about 1,200 fish. So they said, oh, we just take 200. So the CPR station was right across the river here, and the milkshakers used to come there every morning, maybe. Oh, over there would be 7 or 8. And then there'd be passengers, too, for the morning train. So he went over there. It's right on the bank of this station. And he told him, he said, anybody want a fish, come and get them. He said, so I can't give them to you, I have to throw them away. Well, you know, a few of them went there and got a fish or two. They didn't want a lot. He dumped 1,000 over the river.
They didn't mind about pollution.
When would this limit first come into effect? Would you have any idea?
Well, if the run was coming strong, you know, we'd know from the mouth of the river that a horse that would come up, and you'd have to go kind of carefully then. It wasn't every year, mind you. Some years you wouldn't be limited, you know. It depends, the run wouldn't all come at once, and, you know, and that sort of thing.
But this would be shortly after the time the railway came in, then, would it? When they first started?
Well, yeah, this would be around in the 90s, the late 90s. Well, I was fishing there about 1905. But we were kind of raised down the river, you know. And that was our store, was across the river Silverdale. You know, across the river, boat, you see, got our mail from Silverdale. And we just kind of lived on the river. But then you had in the winter, you see. Now in the winter here, the old timers, they knew enough. They'd buy their stuff in the fall. You never knew. The river could freeze up for 6 weeks. I've seen it there 6 weeks and it's full of ice. But we walk across, you know. But you never knew how long that would last. So you'd buy your flour by the barrel, sugar by the 100 pounds, you know, and all the rest, according to that. We could go out here. There was a little store. Well, it was up on, right on the river bank, up at Mount Lehman, but then there was no road up along the river. You see, the railroad wasn't built then. We'd have to go out around, quite a long way around, you see, about 5 or 6 miles we'd go around. So we, Silverdale was our headquarters. And if the boat was off, as I say, for about 6 weeks, well, you were going to get short of everything, you know. And now we got to go to the store twice a week, or maybe twice a day.
How about floods on the river, do you?
I can remember the 94 flood, you know. I was only 4 years old, but I can remember that as plain as if it was today. The road went down the hill, you see, and then leveled off on quite a nice little slant. So our mother wanted to see the river, of course, and so I wanted to go along. So I went down for this day, you see, and we walked down. And the road went right into the river, you see, instead of going out on the flat, it went right into the river. The river would be up. Up in the 20 feet, you see, of Mission. And the two boats were tied right in the middle of the road there, you know. And that was something new, of course, to me, you know. I spotted when I saw that, that's something I never forgot. What those boats were doing there, you see. Something different. The mother said, "You get telling me, why doesn't Mr. Graff bring the river up to our place?" Mr. Graff, he lived there. His place was all underwater. And just in a couple of days, he built a log house up on the, oh, about a couple hundred feet up on the hill there, a little shack. And that's where the family was living that day we went down. His house was underwater. And all, well, practically all of the land there, you know, old Patterson's place too. But Patterson's, their house, they had it built a little higher and they lived in the house. Although when the old steamer passed, the waves would be coming in the front door, you know. But they just laughed it off, you know.
Just took it as a case.
That's right. Didn't expect bills and didn't get them.
Well, we heard stories too about the 94 flood changing the river at the fort quite a lot. Did you know?
Well, they mean that Langley Slough deal, I suppose. Well, now before that, well, the boats now, I remember coming up on the boats, you see. And the tide had to be at a certain height before they'd attempt to come from the, well, there was no wharf there, but just a mud bed, to come up through, you see. They'd have to go down, come out around, up the main river.
Yeah.
But if the tide was right, they'd catch it, you know. I've seen the deckhand be out in front of the long pole, marked off in feet, you see. You hear him hollering at the captain, 3 feet, 4 feet, whatever it was, you know. And if it was getting shallow, the captain would slow down. And when they slowed down, the boat seemed to lift a bit, you see. She didn't dig the sand up in the sand. And they'd get through. I've seen them get stuck there too and have to back out. But they liked to cut off some of their miles too, you see, doing it that way.
Have you ever heard anyone talking about it prior to the 94 flood, was that channel deeper than before the 94 flood? Would you
have heard? Well, I don't know. I never heard. It might have been. Maybe that's why it was shallow, but I remember it to see now, because it was shallow then at ordinary water. And I think maybe that's better than the sand moved in. I don't know. The river does change. Now, above here, you see, there's the island this side of Mission. Well, when I first remembered the river, it was all covered down on the south side of the island. And another island had formed over along the north shore. Quite a good-sized island, and there was an old fellow had moved down there, and he was milking cows and shipping. Well, he only had a couple of cans of milk. And then, for some reason or other, the water seemed to switch and moved down on the north side of the big Batsby Island. And it cut out his island and took it all away. The old fellow died just a short time before the island started to cut away. Well, I think it was cutting away when he died. And it kept cutting, then it started cutting in on the north shore, for several years, you know, there was acres went off the north side, and then suddenly changed. Mine stopped. And now they tell me that it's coming back on this. They took that island out. At the time we got the island, I used to come down and ship his milk from where I shipped mine. And he told me, he said, you know, the government wouldn't give me a deed to the island. I'm just down there, kind of a lease, he said. They say that island was built by the river and be taken away by the river, you see, and they wouldn't. I think he told me he paid a little tax into the provincial government. But he wasn't in any municipality, you see. They were like the island washed away.
Well, we have one picture in particular that I'd like you to see. It's marked on the back of it as being Fort Langley. Now, we take it to be somewhere in the 1840 to 50 period.
Well, that,
looking at it, it looks quite different than it does now as far as the riverbank is concerned.
Are you sure you were looking at the first Fort Langley?
Well, we have thought of this. But looking at the picture at high water, I took pictures here.
High water. Well, was it taken from on the shore? Or?
It was taken from the island.
It should look the same. It was taken from the island.
But it shows mud. You know, it shows wagon tracks in the mud in the foreground, which looks like if it's on the island, taking it across the river.
You ever see one of those?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
Yes.
Well,
that is a very good brochure, I think, in comparison to some that we've had.
Mm-hmm. Well, that first Fort Langley, you see, would be down about, 2 or 3 miles below.
Yes, two and a half to 3 miles.
Yeah.
There is a little marker there,
mm-hmm.
The old Derby site.
That's right. The boats used to land there, for yeah. The most steamboat landing.
And McMillan Island apparently was divided one time by a channel. And apparently the channel would have gone through somewhere near where the bridge is now. It's not visible now, but in high water there is quite a flow through there.
Oh yes, if you notice the low spot there. Will you be around through there this year?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, I'd imagine so. You see, it's nearly 23 feet at Mission. Now it's down to 19 this morning.
Yes. Although I was along the road here this morning and again last night, and it has risen a foot.
Oh, it's come
this
up.
Morning.
Oh, is that right?
But it could be the tide. I believe last night.
Yeah, the tide will make it.
What tide again?
Yeah, that's right. The end of the month.
But
that, I suppose. Well, that island, I suppose, is just built in there, too, just saying.
Well, there's several of them. There's limestone,
and there's... the Limestone Island, Douglas Island.
Yeah.
Well, this Maxby Island up here, it's quite big. Of course, it's all Indian Reserve, too, you see.
Yes. But Crescent Island, has it ever been very much different than it is now?
No, it was long. We ran further up the river. The upper end is cutting away all the time.
The upper end is cutting away.
Well, Bert Gibson. Now, Dad,
yes.
He was living on the island, the upper end. Farrington was the man that owned it. He bought 10 acres. Now, whether I guess they must have sold him, given a deed or something. Now, I'm not sure what happened there with Farrington, but he got 10 acres off the upper end, and he built a house. Well, he wasn't using it. He was fishing near the house up on the mainland. Well, Bert was fishing, so him and Annie moved into this little house to live. You see, it was hangers and climbing the hill. She had to come all the way up the hill. So they were living there, and I think they just had Audrey. Yeah, just one kid. And the high water come along, and by gosh, she thought you could hear that stuff dropping in, you know, straight down, dropping in both sides. Kept moving closer and closer, and by gosh, they had to move out of there, and they went out of there more than a few hours before the house tipped over, you know.
Just as quick as that.
Yeah. Well, they stayed right to the last.